This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
August 27th, 2024. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I stopped watching Fast Five to do this and talk about NXT with you all. Fast Five, perhaps the best of the Fast and the Furious series? Arguable. I'm Glenn Rubenstein. I'm here with George Hermosa. George has lost his ability to read.
Yeah, you called me out. I was hoping nobody would notice. I've only seen the first three, so I can't really comment any of the other
Wait. You've only seen Fast and the Furious, Too Fast, Too Furious, and Tokyo Drift. And then you were like, I'm good.
There are just too many of the movies, you know? I feel like they're just too much to follow, so much going on. I'd rather watch the Marvel movies. Those are a lot easier to comprehend.
This is similar, but with cars. That's their superpower. Yeah. Wow, so The Rock shows up in Fast Five, like...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, Ronda Rousey's in one of them. Gina Carano's in one of them. What's interesting about you stopping there is four is where it changes.
Yeah.
And they're like, now we're going to do sort of heist movies. They change the tone. They steal stuff and they use cars, not DVD players like in the first one, which we all could relate to in the year 2001. It's an amazing series.
It was never a lack of interest. It was just I never really got a chance. And just to kind of give you a heads up on sometimes my movie watching experiences, I didn't watch all the Marvel movies until Endgame. So it wasn't until like Endgame where I was like, I guess I got to watch all the movies to kind of know what's going on. But that was like a good 5, 6, 7 years I had to watch in movies in about like a week span. And because I remember kind of watching him out of order, I'm like, Ant-Man and the Wasp, I feel like I should watch, you know, because at the end, you know, you had the thing with Thanos. Yeah. I'm like, wait, what the hell is going on? I don't get it. Because Ant-Man and the Wasp came out after Infinity War. And then just going back. And even I remember watching like Spider-Man Homecoming and they were, you know, cleaning up what happened in Avengers. And I'm like, wait, I need to watch Avengers first. So then I was like, okay. So literally I watched out of, 23 movies? I watched maybe like a good 20 of them about a week before Endgame came out, just so I can be ready. And I know that I was going to not have to worry about spoilers. And ever since Endgame, I've watched every Marvel movie in the theater. So again, same thing with Fast. I haven't gotten a chance. Maybe when the next one comes out in the movie theater, I'll make it a point to watch it, but I got to watch, it's Fast and Furious is number 4, right?
Yes.
And then it's Fast 5.
Yes.
And then it's Fast.
Furious 6.
Furious 6.
I believe it's Furious 6. I guess it's Furious 6, Fast 7. And then Fate of the Furious.
Yeah.
Which is 8. Fast 9.
And then it's just gonna be called Fast X. Speaking of X, I have seen all the Saw movies.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, here's the crazy thing. Speaking of Saw X, is that technically Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift takes place after Fast 6.
Yeah, because I hadn't watched it, but I guess they brought back the Asian guy from Tokyo Drift, which was a big deal.
I mean, it was Tokyo, so that really narrows it down. But yes, Han.
Yeah. But so I remember it being a big deal, and I remember hearing about that. I'm like, wait, so he comes back later, but then it was like, okay, so I guess that was supposed to be a prequel to one of the movies. But yeah, I can remember enough where I don't have to rewatch Tokyo Drift.
Tokyo Drift is for what it is. I enjoy Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
It had Han.
Yeah.
Series favorite. We'll be discussing Fast and the Furious more in the coming weeks as I bully George into finally watching this entire series. But tonight, NXT, the lead-in to Fast 5 on the USA Network.
Oh, this is NXT? I thought we were just going to talk about movies all day.
I mean, we could. Big news day for like 2 hours today. Major NXT news that was debunked almost instantly.
Yeah. I saw something because I saw something show up on people's stories where I guess the PC was going to move to Vegas because something that was said in a corporate meeting today. I guess Mark Shapiro, who's the WWE president, I want to say, mentioned something about the PC relocating to Vegas. But I should have known it was maybe too much too soon, maybe too fast, too furious, I guess you can say, that while there's maybe some truth to it, it probably got a little lost in translations. It was just kind of maybe a brainstorming session of maybe a future possibility, if it even is one, because Sean Ross Sapp reported that was just not true. The PC has no plans on moving anytime soon. But then it kind of got me thinking, and you mentioned it a while ago, where you have TKO, right? They own the WWE. They own the UFC. The UFC pretty much headquarters is in Vegas. And it felt like, and again, I could be very wrong about this, when they did merge, under the TKO umbrella, it seemed like they let go a lot of WWE employees that were already doing a similar thing.
Redundancy.
For the UFC. So for example, like just as an example, just throwing it out of nowhere. I don't know if this is true or not. Like they're not, they had a WWE social media team and they had a UFC social media team. And then they were probably like, okay, well, we only need one social media team now that we're under one umbrella. And I feel like they got rid of the WWE portion of it. With that said, it would kind of make sense if they do find their way to Vegas at some point. And maybe there's some truth to the rumor. Maybe it's not so much a relocation, but maybe also an additional spot where they can have certain things. Again, this is nothing's confirmed. The only thing that has been confirmed is it is not relocating, but as we all know, things can change. Who's to say that it might not change in a year or two?
To clarify the remarks talking about the importance of Vegas as a sports destination and WWE wants to do more in Las Vegas. But here's the interesting thing I unearthed after this announcement came out, because I was like, oh, remember how I said I went to the UFC Apex in June for Battleground? Mm-hmm. I could see this becoming the Performance Center West. There's a lot there, makes sense synergy wise. And it turns out, and this was reported a couple weeks ago, the UFC Apex is shutting down in November for a couple months refurbishment.
Remodeling, right?
Yes, $25 million they're investing to expand the facilities and allow them to do even more there. So in my mind, it makes sense for TKO to say we can amortize these costs between UFC and WWE, get more bang for our buck out of this. Mm-hmm. And look, I stand by my two predictions when it comes to WWE in Las Vegas. And today I actually reinforced it, even though that news got clarified and walked back, that USC Apex will be rebranded as the TKO Performance Center West. And similarly, Orlando will be TKO Performance Center East. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I think WWE, and again, this is speculation, but this is someone who lives in Vegas and follows Vegas. I do believe, based on what WWE is doing with WrestleMania, that will give them an opportunity to announce this. And I do see them having a physical Hall of Fame presence in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. I think at WrestleMania, they will announce a date, and it might be 2027 or 2028, that inside a casino, they will make a deal with either MGM or Caesars, who own everything on the Vegas Strip. And we will have the WWE Hall of Fame, and I predict a restaurant, at a major Las Vegas hotel before the year 2030.
And you think about everything that's happened in the last decade, right? 10 years ago, how long have you been in Vegas?
3 years now.
Okay. So, you'll know a little bit of what I'm talking about. Yeah. 10 years ago, I mean, Vegas was always Vegas, but 10 years ago, they had no football team there. Mm-hmm. They had no hockey team. They had no WNBA team. As of now, they don't have an MLB team, but that's going to change in 2-3 years. They didn't have the F1 racing coming in November. Mm-hmm. So my point is, a lot can change in 5-10 years. And you kind of see where not just entertainment, but sports in general, they're migrating to is Las Vegas. And WWE should be, and I'm not saying they should or shouldn't, I'm not saying like, I don't think they'll be any different in terms of seeing where everything is going. I just saw another story, non-sports related, that I guess WB Warner Brothers is going to branch off and expand to Las Vegas. Yeah,
in addition to the one Mark Wahlberg is building in Summerlin.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things happening in Vegas, more and more, and I think even more is going to happen when they finally finish building the stadium and the A's officially move to Vegas. So I would think it would be a little foolish, maybe not permanently moving, but I think it would be foolish for WWE/TKO to not have any form of imprint in Las Vegas. I find myself going to Vegas every few months. I haven't been in a year, so I'm a little ashamed of myself. But if they did have some kind of a presence, most definitely I would make sure to venture out there more on a regular basis. It'd be probably I'd get there, go to the pinball museum for a little bit, and then venture over to whatever WWE has, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's the Hall of Fame. I mean, okay, it might get a little repetitive. Like, how many times can you visit the Hall of Fame? Unless they add more things, unless they do
museums, you know, are big business, dude. I mean, I don't know if you've been to the Grammy Museum in LA or the Academy of Motion Pictures Museum. And what's interesting about museums now is it's different than when we were a kid. So I was at the Smithsonian last week. Just popped into the American history because I always wanted to see. I was always told growing up they had in DC.
DC? Okay. Yeah.
I was always told they had Archie Bunker's chair and Fonzie's jacket, and Fonzie's jacket wasn't there. But this was dense. Like, this was an area, you know, the size of like a modest house, maybe 2,000 square feet, but it was packed with just memorabilia and text to read on each memorabilia. And by the way, you know what the only WWE representation was there? The Smithsonian?
Mr. T's boxing gloves from WrestleMania 2.
That's a good guess, but no, it was Cyndi Lauper's dress from the cover of the She's So Unusual album.
Oh, nice.
Yet she's not in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Not yet.
But yeah, so I think I'm calling this right now. It's going to be a couple $100 million deal that either MGM or Caesars is going to make WWE, and it'll be for a period of like 10 years. And they'll just get they'll absorb the cost. WWE will get a license to bring the memorabilia. They'll do some events there. It just makes sense.
Yeah,
they'll have a store, because think about it. The way WWE works, they just did the fat licensing deal with Netflix for Raw. They got the deal with SmackDown for USA. They're going to Saudi for pay-per-views. And when you think about it, the Hall of Fame is one of the few things WWE has left that they could probably get a couple $100 million paycheck for.
Well, I mean, I just think they have to make it appealing for people to want to go there more than once, right? Yeah. Like, for example, like even when I went to like last year in Los Angeles, they had the superstore right outside of Staples Center or Crypto, whatever it was called, and in the back of the superstore, you had a lot of cool. Especially for the Hall of Fame people, you know, like, here's Great Muta's robe, which looked amazing in person. Here's like a bunch of the Mattel stuff that's coming out. I can't see myself going there just to go more than once. But if they do something where they change it up, in 6 months there's a brand new exhibit like they do out here in the Natural History Museum, they'll have like now we have a dog exhibit, now we have a Lego exhibit, now we have this. Like, if they find a way to mix it up here and there, that would be pretty cool. But if it just stays the same forever and ever, I think it might get a little old.
You know what the Punk Rock Museum does, and if WWE is smart, they do this because there is money in this. The Punk Rock Museum, which is in Vegas, if you look at the calendar, you can just go and tour and pay $20 or whatever to get in. But if you look at the calendar every week, if you want to go and you want the bassist from The Offspring to give you a tour, if you want Matt Pinfield from 120 Minutes, they have these $100 tickets that they limit to like 20 people. Yeah, if WWE is smart, they work in some of the legends. Yeah. They work in some talent that's not being used. You can go and you can pay extra to get a guided tour from talent. That's how you keep people coming back. No, I guarantee you, George, that would be huge.
No, that would be huge. Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Something where it offers a unique experience. Like, for example, have you been to the Titanic Museum at the Luxor?
No, I've heard exhibit? It's quite good.
It's good, but I ain't going to go there more than one time. You know, but if they offer something different and offer something new every single time, then I'm all for it. But I truly see in the next, like you said, I think in the next 5 years, by 2030, they are going to have some form of imprint, whether it's an expanded version of the PC West, mm-hmm. or whatever it is, whether it's like you said, an exhibit or something of that extent. I think they are going to have some form of imprint in Vegas, not because it's good business, but because it is, because everyone else is doing it too.
Yeah. The mistake they made with the world was they tried to run it themselves.
Yeah.
The money is in licensing.
Yeah. Doesn't help. They had some guy embezzle a bunch of money in there too.
Sure. There's that as well. But also Times Square is an expensive place. I was also in Times Square last week. Expensive place to do business.
I'm trying to go to Chicago in a few weeks. I'm trying to see if that can work out. Not for All Out, but just I want to go to Cubs game.
Nice. What else is going on in the news? I feel like the news and speculation heavy the show. But we're gonna power through NXT. There was some good. It was a good NXT tonight, but it was like not super groundbreaking.
Speaking of NXT, WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels on the audience to which the promotion is geared. So speaking on WGN, he explained the WGN Radio, home of the Cubs, Michaels explained the growing competition with the live television network industry while also stating that the youth continues to be the main target audience on NXT. He said, and I quote, anonymous GM, so look, we're obviously always appealing to new and younger audiences. That's one of the great things about NXT. We have a roster whose average age is about 24 years old, so it's definitely geared towards the youth and the future of the WWE. The TV landscape today right now is very tough, very competitive, but NXT is thriving right now, as are all the WWE products, and that's because whether it's Raw, SmackDown, or NXT, we're trying to give what we believe wrestling fans want. 1000% agree. And now that he kind of says that, I see where the CW thing kind of makes sense, because CW, even dating back to when it was a WB/UPN, they always kind of geared toward a younger audience.
Oh, yes.
So that kind of, you know, makes sense on why maybe CW was the right choice for NXT to be at. And plus, like he mentioned, everybody's so young. And at least for me, and this isn't a knock in any single way toward anybody in wrestling, because I want to get your opinion too, because I talk to a lot of people my age, right? And they'll say, oh, wrestling isn't what it used to be. Everybody used to be larger than life, man. When I was watching growing up, everybody used to be this bigger, larger than life character. And I'm like, yeah, of course they were, because you were a child. You know what I mean? You were a child, so you saw the world differently. It's hard to kind of watch some of these guys who are 20 years old, like, you know, Javon Evans, and say, man, I grew up looking up to you, because I didn't, you know? And so it's just a whole new generation. With that said, I think it's smart for maybe them to focus on that. You know, they're not going to try to sit there and try to cater to the wrestling fans that have been watching for 30, 40 years. I think it's easy to follow. It's kind of easy for a kid to watch. I remember watching NXT with my 8-year-old. Want to know who he loves? He loves Joe Hendry. Want to know who he loves? He loves Trick Williams. Why? Because they have like a chant that it's easy to get behind. He always tells me like, hey, when is the whoop that trick? When is that guy going to come out? You know, so but again, that's what it's about. You know, it's about kind of capturing the attention of something like that. It doesn't have to be rocket science either. So I kind of get where Sean is coming from as far as wanting to appeal. And again, I'm not in my 20s, and I'm appealing to NXT. So that says a lot on how good their product is.
Yeah, I mean, and it is, you know, as much as wrestling gets pegged as a male focused soap opera, NXT hit its stride in the post 2.0 era by going back to that with the Chase U stories, the Tony D'Angelo, D'Angelo family stories, even Trick and Carmelo. Like, I think that people that really resonates with people, that level of deep storytelling. And I think they're finding a balance. It's not as heavy on that, but I think part of that is that when they go to the CW, they'll have a chance to really reboot this and find some entry points for new audiences.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious how, I'm going to go off tangent in 1 second. I'm kind of curious how, if they have to adjust in any way, when they go on the CW. We saw that with ECW on Sci-Fi where, again, maybe it was the plan the whole time, but it definitely wasn't the ECW that remembered in the late 90s. I think the perfect example, here it comes. I think the perfect example is like the Boy Meets World spinoff, Girl Meets World. When they were on the Disney Channel, and very quickly people realized, man, this is not going to be like Boy Meets World because it's a Disney Channel show. They were able to tackle a lot of things on ABC that they're not able to do on Disney Channel because it's a Disney Channel show. And I'm kind of curious if that in any way is going to be the case for CW. I'm hoping it won't be. I'm hoping they're going to be like, well, you know, you bought the show, and this is what you're getting. And again, I don't know what goes on behind the scenes of these negotiations.
No, it'll be curious.
I'm curious myself, and I'd like to think that what we're seeing now is not going to change much, really, when it goes on to CW.
I mean, you know, I'll take it a step further. Degrassi The Next Generation had this problem where they tried to cast some alumni from the original Degrassi series and give them storylines addition to the kids. And the problem is that by that point, even older audiences like myself that were watching and had watched the original series were so invested in the younger cast that we didn't need all that nostalgia fan service.
Yeah.
On an ongoing basis. So I think that that'll be the question, right? Like the real challenge in my mind is when they switch over the CW, who's the talent that's getting pushed? Because if Chase Yu and Tony D'Angelo have been 40% of all storylines in NXT for the last year, but they seem like they're ready to graduate, are we going to get them in some A-prime storylines now? Or is it still going to be more new and emerging talent? Like, how are they going to come up with that mix? What are people going to react to? Here's another question. Are we going to see this multiversal TNA era, will that continue on the CW, or is that something they're doing right now to keep NXT hot in a light storytelling mode while they're waiting for the CW?
Does that
forbidden door slam shut once they're on the fifth network?
Yeah, and also, like, how much say is CW gonna have? Like, they're paying them all this money. And to say that they're not going to have some kind of say, I'm not saying they're going to sit there and influence the show in any way, but I like to think that if there's an executive out there that says, hey, you know, we kind of think that this is something that you guys should implement, I think it's going to happen. And just case in point, again, this is just speculation. I don't have any inside info, but I'm almost sure that I'm right because I'm never wrong or rarely wrong, is the Fox deal with SmackDown. There isn't a single person that I have met or seen or talked to that thinks the WWE presentation of the draft is good. I think we talked about it previously when I can't remember if it was with you or someone else when we talked about the draft when it happened this earlier this year. It's just horrendous. But I look back and think on why this is how it is, and that current format of the draft, it started right after the Fox debut. It was the Fox debut, and the next week was the draft. And ever since then, whenever we saw a draft, it was that stupid, ridiculous, like,
and war rooms and Cletus.
Yeah, going to Raw from Monday Night Raw is Sheamus. And it's like, great, you know, now, okay, whatever. You know, then obviously they're making a big deal. And I'd like to think that that was something that Fox wanted, because we've only seen it after the Fox thing. And I feel like this is going to be, if we don't see it next time, then I know that I was completely wrong. But my gut, there's something inside me that tells me that this last iteration of the draft is going to be the last time we see that stupid format of whatever that was of the draft. With that said, going back to present, I'm really curious if CW at some point is going to say, hey, we like this guy, we want to see more of this guy, or, you know, we don't like this guy, we should, you know, kind of take a step back on this guy, or whatever.
Or like, other what about James Vanderbeek? You know? We've been looking to get James Vanderbeek back on the CW. Do you have a space for him? And also, could someone be from Krypton?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you know, these are valid questions that CW might ask.
1,000%, you know.
And we vampires.
We might have some the next iteration of maybe one of these NIO athletes, you know. Karen Sharp, or whatever. That's actually the DJ out here. She is known as the Gossip Girl, Karen Sharp. You know,
that's so solid.
Yeah.
But they've kind of already, and they've kind of got that. It's actually interesting to think about now. Huh. You know, if you think about some of the moves they've been making and some of the talent they've been featuring, I wonder if there's a little bit of a CW-ization going on in some of who they're featuring. I wonder if they're looking at this a little differently and saying, now is our chance to be young and relevant again.
Yeah.
Not that the CW is the most relevant network, but for WWE, isn't the average NXT watcher like 50 years old?
Yeah, they said that like a while ago.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't think I haven't seen a single 50-year-old in that crowd. So who knows?
Yeah,
maybe there's an age limit for NXT. But ooh, yeah, it should be interesting. I have no idea what other programming CW has, by the way.
I know. Penn and Teller Fool Us, which is in Vegas. They shoot that in Vegas.
Aha! Aren't there like what's it called? Reboots? Isn't there like a Gossip Girl reboot or like a 90210 reboot?
No, that was like 15 years ago, dude.
No, there was like one like what like oh yeah, I think you're right.
No, it was the one that more recently was about. It was a pseudo reality that they were trying to do a reboot, but it was fictional. That was only 5 years ago.
Call me when they have a Dawson's Creek or a Felicity reboot.
And let's not forget that the CW was the merging of UPN and the WWWWB.
Oh, that means we might see a reboot of Moesha.
Or Homeboys in Outer Space.
Oh, my God.
Secret Diary Desmond Pfeiffer. Let's bring it all back.
Wasn't Everybody Loves Chris the big one too?
Everybody hates
Chris. No, Everybody Hates Chris.
That's coming back. Everybody Still Hates Chris as an animated series.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. I know it's only a matter of time before we all know what programming CW is gonna have. Because I'm sure they're gonna be doing a great job promoting it on the NXT show.
I love those weird crossovers. I think they're always so, so good. Hey, this weekend, we're going to have Flobo Boyce and Jack Farmer going live right after Bash in Berlin on Saturday. And then Flobo is going to be here with me talking about NXT No Mercy on Sunday.
That should be fun.
Yeah, we're going to talk about our No Mercy
predictions later on in the show.
Exciting, but let's power through some NXT.
This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles, including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through work with relevant real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Let's do it.
At some point, I was gone. I was in New York. I was on Broadway watching the shows. I like the theater. Wrestling is theater, but I like the actual theater.
Did you watch the Back to the Future one? Is that something? How was that?
I did. The spectacle is great. The special effects for a Broadway show were amazing. The cars doing everything. It's cool. Music kind of thin. Mm-hmm. It was fun. Fine. I saw Stereophonic, which is about a band. But it's not a musical, but it's about a band, and they barely play their instruments in the entire thing. It's frustrating.
I need to make my way to some musicals. There's a lot on the list that I've never seen. I've never seen Hamilton, never seen the Book of Mormon. I was in Vegas, and I wanted to see what's the one's the Meatloaf one, Bat Out of Hell.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Even though I heard it was like not good reviews, I still wanted to see it just because I'm a big Meatloaf fan. What's the guy's name? Jim Steinman. And I was in Vegas. Like, and I didn't know this. I found out on my way home that the days I was in Vegas was the last time. Oh. Like that was like their last shows ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I would have known, I would have definitely like try to watch some of them.
I saw it on Broadway.
I heard it wasn't good.
It was something. I know somebody who really loves that. What's her name? The artist. Why am I blanking on her name? She drew the Bloody Becky sticker. She is like Bat Out of Hell super fan.
Was she you know her personally or like?
Yeah,
you know,
she has been on Lauren Moran. That's right. She's been on the Yellow Jackets podcast that I do with NYC Demon Diva. She's a big Yellow Jackets fan. Lauren, very talented artist, and she saw Bat Out of Hell the musical like 5 times on Broadway, which I'm fascinated by. Anyhow, Broadway was good. DC was good. Went to the Smithsonian. Went to the Spy Museum. That is a good.
That was in New York.
No, that's in DC. It's right across from the Smithsonian. Smithsonian is actually like 7 museums.
Yeah, it's like I remember I went once, like maybe like 12 years ago. There was like this big row of just all the museums. I can't remember much. But I remember it was awesome.
Yes. So at some point when I was gone, they decided that J.C. Jane's faction is now called Fatal Influence.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about that?
I mean, it's all right. I mean, I was on the Raw show like a week ago and we were trying to figure out what Fatal Influence was. We thought it was going to be some like stable on the main roster. And then like the next day they announced it was going to be them three. I mean, it's kind of like a go-to, right? Like a very Toxic Attraction-ish, you know?
It's very random name generator.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I guess it's better than not having a name.
Sure.
It's yes, Alicia A. It is much better than the Pure Fusion Collective.
I mean, is it?
Oh my god, that's not a good name at all. I feel bad because I know one of the persons in that group. And maybe they like it. So what the hell do I know? But okay. It should have just been called like Pure Fusion. Like that would have been like, but I just don't see why the name Collective has to be involved in there.
Well, it's a co-op, you know, it's a collective. So Fatal Influence is J.C. Jane and Fallon Henley. Mm-hmm. They have influence. It's fatal.
Yeah. I mean, I dig it. I dig their it does seem a little random.
And like Fatal Influence, by the way, Fatal Influence, not a long-term business model. If it's fatal.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm an influencer, and if I endorse your product, you're going out of business because I have fatal influence.
Yeah. Yeah. I just keep thinking of the movie Fatal Attraction.
I was thinking of Fatal Attraction, Fatal Instinct, the spoof.
Yeah.
Bad Influence with Rob Lowe. Fatal Influence.
But yeah, I'm still a little thrown off by like Fallon Henley as a heel. I know she does a good job, but she was so good, in my opinion, as a baby face.
The bar.
Yeah. You know? So I wonder what happened to that bar. But yeah, it's, I think it's going to take a couple more weeks of watching them consistently being on TV to kind of, you know, like Fatal Attraction. Now I'm going to get confused. Which is the Mandy Rose one?
Toxic Attraction.
Toxic Attraction
makes sense.
That one fit from day one.
Yes, and great name.
Yeah.
Great name.
Fatal, and I'm going to get them confused, but Fatal Influence, I think they need a few more weeks at least to really kind of have the impact that Toxic Attraction had 3 years ago.
Fatal Influence is like someone that's going to get you really into like smoking or something. Like, yeah. It's a weird Toxic Attraction makes sense. You look back at bad relationships and say, oh, I wish there'd been a warning sign. Well, they were part of a group called Toxic Attraction.
It just seems like, I mean, Mandy was obviously the star of that, but yeah. It just seems like they're trying to recreate that. And it just seems like they're trying too hard.
Yeah.
As opposed to maybe having a more natural feel to that group, you know?
Oh my God, what is Fatal Influence doing in the Impact Zone? It's very derivative.
Yeah.
Very derivative. Maybe it'll grow on me. Yeah. I don't know. And I love JC Jane and Fallon, by the way. Yeah. Fallon with the Cruella DeVille cow print fur coat. Great.
I feel like she should change her hair, though. Mm-hmm. She looks still like the bar girl. I just feel like I need a little bit more of a change other than the wardrobe.
Okay. Okay. So they took on tonight Lash Legend and Jakar Jackson, and Fatal Influence won.
This was fun. I see a lot of good things in Jakar Jackson. With that said, I was a little shocked that Lash Legend took the pin. Because I always go back to that match, the Iron Survivor match, you know, back in December, and she looked so good. She looked so good in that match. And I thought that with her height and her build, I thought she'd be a little bit more protected. With that said, I'm a little surprised she took the pin. But I think everybody looked great. I think Jakara Jackson is going to be one of those people that is going to make a big impact on the North American Championship within like a year.
Well, then we had backstage Eddie Thorpe and Ashanti talking. And Ashanti the Adonis, not R&B singer Ashanti. Born for this, keep me score at home. But then Brooks Jensen was attacking people backstage, setting up a match for later that night. Then we had Carmen Petrovic versus Izzy Dame, and Carmen getting a win.
First off, I love Ashanti the Adonis' character because that is so like... everything. Every workplace I've ever been, there's always that one guy that's like just thirsty, you know, that's him like asking around.
Should become pickup artists.
Yeah, just asking around.
Market a class.
And so like, hey, what's up, baby girl? You know, what you doing today? You know, just like little things like that. And it's like, oh, you got a man? Oh, okay, no, you know, just trying to find some kind of in, you know? And I really like what I'm seeing with him. I've said it before, and I'll say it again and again and again. Within the first 5 minutes of him showing up on NXT, he showed more personality than anything that he's ever done in his previous 2-3 years, whether it's on Hit Row, whether it's on As Tahuti Miles. So I'm really digging what I see in Ashanti the Adonis. With that said, I'm liking this Carmen Petrovic Izzy Dame feud, going back to Carmen being part of that gauntlet match. I think it fit. I was a little shocked that Carmen took the victory. Especially with Izzy Dame, doing her thing in TNA, she showed up not too long ago challenging for the championship. But I thought this was a good match.
Danny wants to know, the answer is Jack. I think Carmen getting a win is good. She needs some momentum. Carmen, here's the problem. There's a lot of credible potential future champions and challengers in the NXT women's division, but unless they're booked as such, like too many back and forth wins and losses. NXT needs to decide who the serious contenders are and start booking them as such. Too much 50-50 booking.
You think so?
I think so.
I think Izzy Dane's been getting on a good run, and I feel like this was Carmen's biggest win.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It could teeter-totter, seesaw.
But I feel like this was her first big win, because, you know, even going back to when she had Natalya in her corner and, you know, feeding with other, I feel like she was always on the losing end of those matches. So I feel like this is her first really big win with that kind of a spotlight. I mean, I'm not talking about the tag match at on the pre-show. By the way, I feel like the show has sincerely been lacking a lot without Ariana Grace, and I'm hoping that we see her next week.
Yeah, what's up with that? She's somewhere with Georgina?
Maybe, but yeah, I do miss seeing Ariana Grace's presence on NXT.
Okay.
Maybe I'm the thirsty one.
Huh. Sarah Schreiber was interviewing Jada Parker. I love Sarah's dress. It looked like scrambled pay-per-view. Like, it was an awesome dress. Very cool. And interviewing Jada about her NXT championship match against Roxanne Perez at No Mercy. And then Perez came in, crashed it, got into a confrontation. Parker slapped Roxanne. And then Jada said to someone off screen, like, oh, yeah, you can get some as well. And people are wondering, was this Stephanie Vaquer? Was this Julia? Who was she talking to?
I think it was Julia. She just said goodbye to Japan a couple days ago. I don't think she was really there, but I do think that she is going. I think that's who the segment was referring to, you know, her being there. I'm a little torn because I'm a big Jada Parker fan, and I like her attitude. I like her swag. I just like everything. So I was a little thrown off by the start of the segment. She's like just kind of smiling. And I don't know what it was. And it's so nitpicky, but I feel like that already took away from that attitude that she had. I don't know. Just the little tiny things. And then she got it back with obviously the more she was talking, because I think she's so comfortable just speaking in general. And I will say that Roxanne Perez, her as a heel, I've been having difficulty buying because really? She has the complete opposite of a resting B-face. But I do think that today she completely knocked it out of the park with her heel character.
Yeah, I think she's good.
And that slap was just like, holy moly. I do not want to get slapped by Jada Parker at any point.
No.
But I do think that the figure that they were looking at was supposed to be Julia.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll find out.
And then she'll show up. She'll show up at the end of the match. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Or actually, I think it's going to be all three of them at the same time. Her, Vaquer, and Delta.
Okay. That'd be interesting. Man. The family with Tony D'Angelo versus the NQCC in a mixed six-person tag team match. Family getting that win.
Is that what they do?
That's what they do.
I have ranted and raved about Ren Sinclair's presence on the No Quarter Catch Crew. I think that No Quarter Catch Crew has lacked a lot of depth in the past few months. They've had this off again kind of just anything, right? And again, it's not their fault. Obviously, Drew Gulak was kind of the originator of that group. You had Damon Kemp in there, and now he's gone. But I feel like what was lacking in the NQCC, Ren Sinclair has filled that void. I think she brings in so much personality. She brings in so much color to that group of the
NQCC.
I think she's so great. Even kind of when they were going, you know, backstage prepping and stretching whatnot, I think it's just such a delight. And also, man, Adrienne Rizzo, I want to see more of her in the ring.
Yeah,
she is so great. Wonderful. She is so I'm still not digging the accent, but she is just so good.
Have you listened to her actual speaking voice
yet? And I have not. And I kind of don't want to, because a little mystique was ruined the first time I ever heard Santina Marilla speak without the accent.
It impresses me more, honestly. Yeah. I think this was a fun match. Tony D'Angelo got called away, though, because Obafemi was at the restaurant.
Yeah.
They had a nice little promo off in advance. I mean, not much more to talk about. A nice little promo off, though, face to face.
I think so too. Kind of helped build their match at Sunday.
And then Wesley and Zach Wentz met in the ring ahead of their match at No Mercy. What did you think of this?
I really liked it a lot. It. By the way, are they completely like revisionist history?
Yes.
Like as if like Nash Carter was never his name.
Because I think if they were re-signing him, and it's been said that WWE is open, you know, to working with him again now, and things have softened after his release. But I, you know, I think it helps for the purposes of this angle, to be honest.
Just one thing I noticed. I'm like, oh, okay. So I guess Zachary Wentz was a member of MSK back in the day.
I know. Hey, the best line though was Wesley saying, "I'm a WWE superstar and you're a TNA wrestler."
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I like that element of just kind of acknowledging that and just how Wesley, and I've been saying it for a while, where I think Wesley is beyond being a North American champion. I think he's ready for the big time, and he kind of acknowledged that he was kind of being held back by his greatness. And I like the sensitive line. I like that Wentz called him, you know, "Hey, man, you're the sensitive one. You're the one that always cries out here." But either way, I'm digging this. I want to know if, like, maybe I'm curious if Trey Miguel is going to get involved at some point, maybe on in the future.
Yeah, maybe.
If this is going to be more of like, maybe they are. Again, I don't know any contract situation, but is Zachary Wentz going to come back full time to NXT? I think it's a big deal that he's getting this spot on the pay per view. So I think it's a step in the right direction. I think they're going to kill it this upcoming Sunday.
It's going to be great. Although we're going to talk about the NXT and A era a little more in the show, because TNA was really represented here. And again, is this stopgap on the way to the C-Dub, or is this permanent? Is this long-term, or what are we going to see? Kalani Jordan, Wendy Chu had a surprise for Kalani Jordan tonight, and that was Rosemary from TNA. She's great, and she's been doing this so long. I think Rosemary, great character. The challenge is that, you know, if you saw that entrance and you were not familiar, you would be like, "What's Abaddon doing on NXT?"
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a shame, because Rosemary's been doing this for like 15 years.
Yeah. I was hoping that, I know we were going to see it, but I remember when they came out to like the Marilyn Manson as I forgot the name of the group they were, but like that was just Decay, right? They were Decay with her and like Crazy Steve and Abyss, I think it was. By the way, I wonder if like Abyss is ever going to make like a drop in, like maybe like a run in at some point back in TNA. That'd be a nice little fun surprise. But yeah, this was good. I feel like the beginning of the match was a little like, you know, maybe a little timing issues, but you know, they picked up the pace and I think it went back to, you know, back to butter, and it was good. I liked it. I liked seeing Rosemary at least get a chance to perform in that kind of a stage. And
great entrance.
Yeah, she's been, man, she's somebody that you watch TNA, and especially that anybody that's watched TNA in the last 10 years, just how much of an unsung hero she's been.
Yes.
She's really, really good. And so, yeah, I'm hoping that we see more of her. I kind of like that, and I'm hoping that they dig a little bit more into this, where they said that like Rosemary was kind of like the demon that Wendy Chu had in her dreams or something like that. Right. Or like, I know it's kind of a Rhea Ripley song, but like just something where like she was a figure, kind of like something that had to do with her nightmares. And I'm like, man, like I think they can really expand on that. And if Wendy Chu kind of has this kind of stable of these like nightmarish figures that you only see in bad dreams or scary movies, I think that would be pretty neat.
And pardon me, Rosemary wrestling for 15 years, 8 years is Rosemary.
Yeah.
With this gimmick, which I think is good. But it's actually kind of shocking of the knockouts in TNA, that gimmick is so strong, the presentation is so strong. I'm actually always shocked that WWE never made overtures towards her before. But love this match. And as Goodfellas saying, like, yeah, Wendy and Rosemary would be awesome, either as a team or one-on-one.
Yeah,
I'd love to see that. But this was a fun match, but of course Kalani got the win. So here's the challenge. Thus far on the scorecard of the NXT TNA era, aside from Rascals, what are the TNA wins? I mean, Hendry, yes, is advancing and getting opportunities, but I think there needs to be a significant TNA win, or else this is...
Are you talking about on NXT programming?
Yeah, on NXT.
Oh, yeah.
You can't just have everyone win on their home court.
Yeah, because, I mean, even like I think on Impact, we saw Charlie Dempsey and Jonathan Gresham.
Yeah, and Jordan Grace got like an exhibition match and won. Yeah. But I'm saying like wins where it matters.
I think that's pretty much it. You had Joe Hendry. He's won a couple matches, even though he got eliminated in his first appearance, like in 5 seconds.
Yeah, Jordan won a match. Rascals won a match.
That's about it.
That's what has me wondering if this era is coming to an end in advance of the seat up. Now, if Hendry wins, which I don't think will happen on Sunday,
I'm going to have an out of the box prediction when it comes to that one.
We'll talk about it.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But yeah, we went from that, and then Wendy Chu was all over the screen. Cool presentation, snuck up behind Kalani, got a sleeper on her. We saw Alexis King get into it backstage with Thora Mensa, begin fighting. Weird Oro tossing the like, not Alexis King not having a positive male role model. That was like, I mean, that's actually like a really deep offensive thing in kayfabe, except if you don't know the story, because they haven't really leaned on that story.
I would have liked for him to brush it off.
Yeah.
And he could have said something like, you know, there's a reason why my last name's King. And he was like, you know, I know what you're trying to do, but there's a reason why my last name's King. And just kind of maybe brushed it off a little bit, as opposed to like, you know, he's the one that said it. He's the one that said he's trying to make a name for himself. And now he's getting like hurt because he went there when you're the one that started it anyways.
It's just odd continuity to be like, we're going to change the name and distance themselves. It's like with Braun Breaker. I think they actually did this once. So they're like, I know math isn't your family strong suit. And it's like.
Well, he referenced it on Monday too.
Oh, see, it's weird, right? I guess it makes it kind of a smarky thing, like, oh, if you're on the inside, you get the joke, and otherwise you're like, what? But Chase Yu celebrating backstage. Axiom and Nathan Frazier won a rematch. So there you have that. Then Brooks Jensen beat Malik Blade. How are you feeling about this Brooks Jensen thing?
This is a very, very rare miss.
just the storyline in general.
I think the storyline in general. I think the best thing about Brooks Jensen is that elbow drop to finish the match. But other than that, like I'm not feeling it at all.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. I see a lot of Jungle Boy, Jack Perry vibes.
That's giving Brooks a lot of glow up.
But I'm saying, like, just in the terms of like the image, like he's got the beard, the bushy beard, the hair. He's acting like as if he's, you know, such a victim, but also trying to make a name for himself. Very scapegoating, I guess you could say. But I don't know. I'm happy that he's getting an opportunity to at least try to get it over, and maybe to some people it is over. I just feel like he needs to excel at something. And I feel like he's not.
Yeah, it's weird. I think the stuff with Sean Spears is good. This is something where I would actually like a little better, more story rather than just like, I'm crazy and I'm disgruntled and I'm going to beat people up. I feel like this is a little half-baked. So... Flobo saying he's the Brooks Jensen of Wrestling Inc. No, Flobo, you're better than that. But then Joe Coffey beat Javon Evans.
This match was very bouncy. No, I I like that they're actually giving Gallic some victories here and there. I've seen them lose a lot of matches since coming up to NXT. But I mean, it was good. I liked it. You know, Javon Evans can't win every single match that he's in. So I think it was a nice clash of styles. Obviously, Gallus has the experience. And I'm sure at some point it's going to really help elevate Javon Evans. And I feel like he's going to maybe have some friends. Who those friends are, it can be anybody, really. But it's only a matter of time before we see Gallus against Javon Evans and two mystery opponents.
I mean, Javon Evans has massive main character potential in the CW.
Yeah.
Good match, but I think Javon, like, rising superstar. I don't think Gallus has ever really gotten over in NXT in America.
Yeah.
But then Joe Hendry did a performance at the end, singing a song about Ethan Page.
Mm-hmm.
Ethan came out, Ava came out, and we got announced that Trick Williams is going to be the guest referee at No Mercy when Joe Hendry faces Ethan Page for the NXT championship. What'd you think of this segment? Do you believe Joe Hendry has a chance of winning? You said earlier you have a controversial.
I just don't think he's winning, but I do think someone's going to come over and help make sure that he doesn't win. But it was okay. I mean, the song was pretty catchy, and obviously the crowd was into it, so that was great. And then Trick being announced as like the referee, I thought that was a little weird.
It is a because little weird.
Like, it's like, why? You know,
what he's going to win the title back on night one of the CW.
But I mean, like, what's the purpose of having him as a referee? There hasn't been much like shady stuff that's going on to warrant a special referee. So I just thought that part was kind of like didn't really make too much sense. But I am curious how they're going to play into him maybe having a count to three for Ethan Page and setting up the maybe the rematch for the first CW episode. Although I don't think it's going to happen on CW episode, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe the first big event. My question is, where were Stevie Turner and Robert Stone tonight?
I think they were in the office, because we didn't really see Ava in her office. We saw her outside the office, right?
I know.
We saw her in the office.
And they're wrestling at live events in Florida.
Oh, yeah. They're doing like mixed tag matches, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It is interesting. This was a fun episode tonight. The NXT TNA era, I think, will be looked back upon fondly when it is over.
I think it helps because, especially with TNA, and they're doing pretty good business right now. A lot of people like to knock on the AEW TNA relationship, but that's a little unfair because that was really during a time where crowds wasn't really a thing. So how do we know that Kenny Omega as Impact and TNA champion could not have maybe sold out a crowd of like 3,000 or 4,000, right? Mm. So it's really unfair to really compare those two. With that said, I'm digging it. I'm digging it. I want to see more. I want to see something actually happen, though. Want to see an NXT person win a TNA championship. I want to see a TNA wrestler win an NXT championship. And I just feel like that would really catapult this relationship to the next level.
I agree. I think we got to shake it up and make the most of this. We got 5 weeks left till the CW.
And I do think it's going to continue after the CW.
Think so?
Yeah.
I mean, I think what will happen is I think there will be one or two talents they decide they're going to, that NXT is going to sign. I don't think, I mean, this is in a weird way. They're on like lame duck on the USA Network right now. You know what I mean? Like ratings matter and momentum matters and buzz matters, but I just don't see them putting a talent from another promotion on what is technically broadcast TV for as much as that distinction matters in this day and age.
Yeah.
That's just my hunch.
No, I mean, I think when it comes to the CW, because it's going to have more eyeballs, and I think feel like there's going to be a higher expectation to have good shows, I feel like it's going to be all hands on deck, and they're going to do whatever it takes for them to make sure that this momentum continues.
Yeah. And that's the thing, as Goodfellas pointing out, Punk and Orton are going to be on the CW.
I do think that Punk is going to challenge for the NXT championship on the first episode.
Maybe he beats Ethan Page and then maybe Trick beats it off Punk.
I don't think so.
You think Punk is going to lose to Ethan Page? Think about how ridiculous that would have sounded in AEW.
I think Drew McIntyre is going to come in and make sure that CM Punk does not leave with the NXT championship.
Okay. Well, let's do our picks for No Mercy, the last NXT PLE of the pre-C-Dub era. The card. Chase Yu versus Nathan Frazier and Axiom for that NXT Tag Team Championship. Who do you got?
I don't see Chase Yu losing, especially with how last time they won the Tag Team Championship, they just lost it right back to the D'Angelo family a couple weeks later. So I don't see that happening again. There's some unfinished friction with Fraxium that I feel like we're going to start seeing in a few weeks. And with that said, I do feel like Chase Yu, they're going to retain the Tag Team Championships.
Okay. What about Wesley versus Zachary Wentz?
I would be shocked to my literal core if Zach Wentz wins this match. He's a TNA guy, but like, how do you have Wesley, who is going to be on such a high projection?
I know.
Just have him lose.
Where does he go from here, though?
Yeah, there's no way I think he's going to start going after the NXT champion or start winning matches in order to make sure that whenever that face wins that championship, that he'll be the first challenger.
Okay. I'll be shocked if Wentz wins, but I kind of want to see it, though.
Yeah.
That would be kind of amazing.
Maybe Trey Miguel comes in and, you know, does something, or maybe Trey Miguel comes in and turns on Zach Wentz.
Yeah. North America Championship match, Obafemi versus Tony D.
This should be a fun one because, man, like, Obafemi just continues to impress more and more on a regular basis. With that said, I don't see him losing, mostly because I think Tony D'Angelo is ready by all means, whether it's for the main roster, whether it's for the NXT championship. But I don't see Obafemi losing any kind of steam. So I do feel like he's going to retain the North American championship.
Yeah. I agree with that. What about the women's North American championship match? Kalani Jordan versus Wendy Chu.
Long live Lonnie. I think Kalani is going to retain. I think there's still a lot of juice in that North American championship squeeze. And I think it's going to be a fun match. But I'm excited to see where Wendy Chu goes from this. Like I said, I want her to kind of embrace the darkness a little bit more. Maybe have, you know, Rosemary come out. Maybe like they'll become some kind of a faction. I think that'll be fun. But I do see Kalani retaining.
Yeah. Although, man, I think people would love to see Wendy get a win on that level. What about the NXT Women's Championship match, Roxanne Perez versus Jada Parker? And who does the stare down with the winner after?
I see Roxanne winning. I think it's a little too soon for Jada Parker. As much as I love her, as impressed as I am with her, I think it is a little too soon for her to be the face of NXT Women's Division. With that said, I feel like Roxanne is going to win. And then you have three different women come out from three different places in the arena, just to pretty much say like, hey, we're here. And we promise that the NXT Women's Division will never be the same. We'll have Julia, Delta, and Stephanie Vaquer.
Okay. And then Joe Hendry versus Ethan Page for the NXT Championship with special guest referee Trick Williams. What is your off-the-wall prediction?
So I feel like there's a lot of unfinished business in TNA. So just because of that, in addition to the history that they have together, I do think Josh Alexander will interfere and make sure that he helps his former partner, Ethan Page, by costing his current rival, Joe Hendry, the victory. So I do think Josh Alexander is going to come and cost and make sure that Ethan Page retains the NXT championship.
Yeah, that's solid storytelling. And we'll see what happens. We'll see how they follow it up. Like, we never got Ash by Elegance showing up more in NXT after her run-in.
Yeah. But I think that was more like to you know, interfere for Jordan. So we saw that kind of culminate at Slammiversary. But yeah, I mean, she's doing good things in TNA. I'm curious if there's a place for her back in WWE or even NXT. I like the character. I feel like this character suits her a lot more than whatever she was doing previously. And that's what it's all about in WWE. It's all about the characters.
I mean, Playtime is Over was epic.
I like that first one. Her first, but when she was out there being like, you know, Kalani Jordan's buddy, I think that lacked a little depth, but I feel like the Ash by Elegance is a little bit more, can fit a little bit more on WWE.
There you go. There you have it, folks. Tune in this weekend. Coverage of Bash in Berlin, coverage of NXT No Mercy, Saturday and Sunday, respectively. Tomorrow night's AEW, Friday night SmackDown. Everybody follow George. He's a G Hermosa. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. We'll catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles, including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.